Now you're listening to The Music Show on RN, and it's time to talk to the composer, Chris Williams. As I mentioned, he has been working with sketches of a lost opera, an unfinished opera, by Nigel Butterley. Chris, welcome to The Music Show.
Thank you very much for having me, Andy.
Let's talk about, well, first of all, as the National Library's Creative Arts Fellow, what did you actually do?
Well, look, the challenge with it was that they opened a proposal for any projects that would somehow engage with the collection at the National Library. And I should say it's the Friends of the National Library Creative Arts Fellowship. The Friends of the National Library have been really, really supportive throughout. And the proposal that I put forward was to look at this manuscript that I knew that was sitting there that Nigel Butterley had begun in the sort of the very late, well, very late 1960s, very start of the 1970s. And I proposed sort of looking through the score and editing it, typesetting it, and then writing a response to that in some form.
Tell us about the project. What was it that Nigel had written back in 1969, 1970?
It was part of a series of commissions at the time, which were sort of anticipating the opening of the Opera House. So the one that you might know about already is Rites of Passage by Peter Scalthorpe, which was the one that ended up going into the Opera House.
But there were other pieces commissioned.
There were seven all up, so from a variety of composers, and Nigel was one of those. And so he began work on it around 1971, but there was discussions in the lead up to that and organising the text and all that sort of thing.
And it's based on Hans Christian Andersen's The Snow Queen.
That's right, yeah, it is. Although it's the original libretto, which was done by John Froh, is not really a retelling of the story so much as a series of tableaus that explore some of the ideas in it. Actually, the original libretto was quite a harrowing version of the story.
And it's a reasonably harrowing story in the first place.
That's true.
How far did Nigel Butterley get with it? I assume that the libretto was complete.
That's right. The libretto was finished, and I was able to track down a copy of it, which was really great and a wonderful starting point for the project that we undertook. I should say that I had a collaborator in the form of Pierce Wilcox, who was working on the dramatic side and the text side for me, which was wonderful. The amount of music that was written was really probably the first scene, and there was a chorus on either side of it, but there was a sort of orchestral introduction, then the chorus, a scene, and then a chorus. And it's probably about 10 minutes of music. When I say that there was 10 minutes complete, I mean that's how much was done in full score. But there are sort of little hints about ciphers that were going to be used, and even a list of approximate timing. So it was very much kind of under construction.
Gone beyond the planning stage.
Yeah.
So why was it abandoned?
That's probably the million-dollar question, Andy. And I went in there hoping that I'd find a smoking gun and I'd uncover a letter that had been hidden for all this time that said this is why it was abandoned. The best explanation I think that I can offer is that putting an opera together is a huge undertaking. It involves lots of people and lots of components coming together at just the right time. And unfortunately, it seemed like a few of those things didn't quite work out this time. I think the other thing that I should mention, I think, that I think is important anyway, is that the original contract allowed about 10 months for the whole thing to be written. So coming up with the idea, organizing libretto, and then writing it.
And it was supposed to be a full-length opera.
No, actually, these were one-act operas.
Still, that's a ridiculous time frame.
By a point of comparison, although it's probably an unfair comparison, when Nigel did write his opera, Lawrence Hargrave Flying Alone, it took the better part of 10 years as opposed to 10 months. Yes. And while that was a bigger undertaking, it is still, I think 10 months is probably quite a quick turnaround from not having an idea to having a complete opera.
You're listening to The Music Show on RN. I'm talking to the composer Chris Williams, and we're talking about Nigel Butterley's unfinished opera, which was called The Desolate Kingdom.
Yeah, there was a bit of discussion about the title, but that was the one they were leaning towards.
And it is now we should talk about a new operatic fragment or scena or scene, The Truth of the Flowers, with music by Chris Williams and words by Pierce Wilcox. But nevertheless, the seed of this new piece is Nigel Butterley's unfinished Desolate Kingdom. How does that work?
Another very good question. We figured out very early on that we'd set ourselves quite a challenge. In some senses, it's easier because we had something solid that we were starting with. So whereas Nigel was beginning this journey without any idea of whatever, even the story that they wanted to tell, we had something that we actually began with. But we were also sort of trying to pull together a whole variety of different strains, the original work itself, then a story that Pierce and I were excited to tell. And so negotiating all of those different elements was the trickiest part about it all. In terms of how it relates to the original, we sort of took the second scene as our starting point, and that was largely because that was about the point where the music stopped from the original, but also because it was the beginning of a new story. It was the start of Gerda's journey within the Snow Queen. So we thought that it seemed like it was a good point that we could bring our own craft to the story, but still honour the original story.
Well, let's listen to a little fragment from a workshop that Sydney Chamber Opera put on just a couple of weeks ago. And we'll continue with our conversation after we've heard it. Who did we hear singing there, Chris?
That was the wonderful Jane Sheldon singing. And you also heard little sounds coming from the chorus, which was Sydney Antiphony and Jack Simons on piano and James Wannan on the viola.
Now, how much Nigel Butterley was in there?
In that little excerpt, I guess I would try and take some of the responsibility or the credit, depending on how you felt about it. In the whole scene, there is a direct quote from the original, and the rest of it, I wasn't conscious of the influence at the time, but I think I should say that Nigel has been a mentor for a long time, and I owe a huge amount to him in terms of my music and other things. So I think that he's a presence in whatever I do. And certainly in this instance, there's definitely Butterley influences all through the scene.
The music that Nigel Butterley has written in the last 10, 15, 20 years is quite different to the music that he was composing in the early 1970s. So I wonder what he thinks of the music, the fragment of opera that you have been working on.
Really, really interesting point. And I think Elliot Geiger made the point in his book about Nigel's music that, in fact, this period of time has very little vocal music compared to the rest of Nigel's output. So we did actually arrange some of the original music for a performance in Canberra at the National Library as part of the Canberra International Music Festival. And Nigel was able to be there both for that performance and then also the workshop that you've just heard. And I think Nigel has a complex relationship to the music that he was writing at that time, and found it quite confronting when he heard the original sketch. And I think he didn't really identify with it in the performance. But when he came to the workshop, he said that he thought what he liked about it was that I'd taken his procedure, which he thought was very fragmented, and tried to find lines within it and a flow that he didn't sense in the original.
Well, and what next?
Well, look, I had a meeting with Pierce yesterday, and we're talking about what the broader story might be from this scene in terms of how it will play out over time. We're going to give ourselves more than 10 months.
I think let's hope this one isn't 10 years.
But
an operatic scene is no good to anyone, Chris. We need the opera.
Okay, good. Well, I'll work on it, Andy.
That's Chris Williams, and we've been talking about The Truth of the Flowers, and Chris is actually giving a talk about this project on Tuesday at the National Library in Canberra, a public lecture. It starts at 6 p.m. and we'll finish by listening to some more of Chris Williams' music. This is a piece called Il Pleu, a piece for percussion. We're listening to the third movement of it, and it's played on this recording by four young percussionists working with Speak Percussion. They're young artists a few years ago: Anna Ng, Madeline Chwaster, Kaylee Melville, and Leah Scholes of Speak Percussion. Il Pleut, It's Raining, and that's music by Chris Williams, and it was performed by the young artists of Speak Percussion.